You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
I just felt drawn this morning to a passage that is, I think, going to help us understand or just get a vision for being with God clearer in our hearts. And I just want to pray, if I can, just to start with, because I think today is going to be a moment for some people. Not what I say, but after what I've said. Lord, I just ask that this familiar passage that we're going to be looking at would not lose anything because it's familiar, but that you would use it to speak to us, all this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe the Lord is going to say some of your names twice. Today, he's calling many of us, I think, by name, twice, to spend time being with him. I think he's calling us to make a choice that can define the type of life we lead. That's a big start. I've got your attention. I don't know about you, but do you ever feel overwhelmed by life's busyness? God, just an immediate response to that one. Do you ever feel like you're constantly running but never quite arriving? That sort of feel? Have you ever felt so busy that you hardly have time to breathe? It's something around the culture at the moment, isn't it, like that? Life moves fast. There's always something to do, someone to call, some crisis to manage. It's hard, isn't it? We live in a world that even rewards busyness in many ways. The more you do, the more valuable it can come over that you are. But what if, in all of our frantic running around, we're missing the most important thing? We live in a world that rewards productivity. But what if, in all this doing, it keeps us from the one thing that truly matters? The better thing. The story that I was drawn to this morning was the story of Martha and Mary. A familiar story. Let's just read it together. It's in Luke 10, if you've got a Bible. Jesus has just sent out the 72 to do as he did. And they return with joy, declaring that even the demons submit to them in Jesus' name. And then he challenges all the religious leaders in that powerful and offensive story of the Good Samaritan, which ends with Jesus saying, "Go and do likewise." And then in the context of all this doing, there's this beautiful story about being. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." What a powerful little passage. Jesus is heading east from Jerusalem towards a nearby village of Bethany where his friends Martha and Mary and their brother Lazarus live. In John's Gospel, it tells us that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. These were buddies of Jesus. One commentator says that Mary and Martha may have been the most important and prominent women in Jesus' life, other than his mother. In the story, Jesus visits their home, and we're told this story because they each respond in different ways, and he wants to teach us through it. Martha is busying herself with preparations. She's welcomed him and the disciples into her house, while Mary simply sits at Jesus' feet. She sits at his feet. I don't know if she looked like that, or whether Jesus looked like that. And then Martha complains. But Martha was distracted, it says, by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." I mean, do you feel sorry for her? I do. I've always felt sorry for her. And Jesus says something that's powerful. He says, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and concerned about many things. There's need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." See, this isn't like a story about two sisters bickering. It's a story about two ways of living. And my prayer is, as we reflect on it today, I wonder whether Jesus is inviting us to choose the one thing that is better. Busyness, it can be so distracting, can't it? See, Martha wasn't doing anything wrong. She was serving Jesus. There's nothing wrong in that, is there? Serving is a good thing. Didn't Jesus say he came to serve? You read the whole of the Bible or the New Testament, and you see that Jesus' way was one that served. It's why it's one of Jubilee's 5 G's. We give ourselves in the service of others. It's important that we give ourselves in the service of others, that we model Jesus' life of service. It's one of the things that delights me most about Jubilee, when I hear how different people serve each other. It is just a phenomenal testimony of the church, that we're a church that serves. In fact, our Church Suite app has got a new little widget thing that popped up that told me that 72% of our members serve on Roasters. We have, yeah, that does mean that there's 28 that don't, I know. You know, but I'm thinking of the 72 that do. But it's not just about Roasters in Jubilee. I see service all over the place in Jubilee. Mums with their little ones, holding down a job as well, fostering families, 1,000 little acts of kindness that go on each week. Serving's a good thing, isn't it? And Martha wasn't doing anything wrong, but she'd let her service become a distraction. Her focus had shifted from who she was serving to what she was doing. Sound familiar? I tell you what, the longer I've gone on my journey, it is so easy to slip into that place. And you end up moaning to the Lord about why other people aren't doing it. See, we live in a culture that glorifies busyness. We pack our schedules, we check our phones constantly. I've been really challenged this week about how much I look at my phone. I've just been you know, I looked up how much I did, and I, you know, I've written to Apple to tell them that their app's wrong because I cannot spend that much time on Instagram. I can't. That's just not possible. We get sucked in, don't we? We rush from one task to the next task. Hades puts the phone downstairs now. We just because in the morning, otherwise it just keeps beeping the whole time before we've even come to prayer or anything. The whole time, there's a danger that busyness can keep us from being with God. And being with God is just such a wonderful place to be. I mean, being with God, the creator of the universe, the one who is all-knowing and all-powerful, he's the one who's utterly safe to be with, only encouraging. Don't we want to be with God? That's what this story is all about. It's not saying that serving's bad. It's all about reading this passage with the right tone of voice in your mind. See, Jesus wasn't rebuking Martha. He was redirecting her focus. And he was doing that because he wanted her to see that her heart was anxious and distracted, when what she truly needed was right in front of her, Jesus himself. The anxious generation has become a phrase, hasn't it, in our culture at the moment. That famous book. In recent research amongst young people in Farnham, sort of meeting on Thursday where we were talking about it, you know, youth are worried and upset about many things. According to UK statistics, young people between 18 and 24 are the most likely to experience anxiety. Nearly half, 45%, report that anxiety significantly impacts their daily lives. 34% said that they felt anxious most or all of the time in the recent past. The way that Jesus said, "Martha, Martha," I think had a very specific tone. It wasn't a harsh telling off. It wasn't a shaming sort of tone. It wasn't a guilt-driven tone. I think it had a tone with a welcome in it. A welcome to find peace. Martha. Martha. So easy to come and moan and, "Oh, if everybody else was doing more, I'd have to do less, Lord." Jesus says to her, "Martha, Martha." He wasn't knocking her service. He was just saying, "Welcome. Come to me, find peace." What if you hear that when I read that passage? The tone of the voice is so powerful, isn't it? Mary had made a different choice, hadn't she? She'd chosen worship over worry. She'd chose to be in Jesus' presence instead of being consumed by activity. And Jesus said that she'd made the better choice. It's interesting, without understanding some of the cultural context, we might miss the significance that Mary's posture. She sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he was saying. She sat at his feet. In Jewish tradition, sitting at the feet was what disciples did. In Acts 22, you see the Apostle Paul tells us that he was educated at the feet of Gamaliel. He was an esteemed rabbi, and he trained Paul. And Paul would later describe him as a Pharisee of Pharisees. But Paul sat at his feet to learn. That was how disciples did it at that time. So the fact that Mary is sitting at the feet of her rabbi at the time would have been scandalous, would have been profound. First century Judaism, women were generally not considered to be disciples of rabbis, as the role of rabbi was traditionally reserved for men. Most girls didn't receive formal education. Women weren't allowed to study the sacred texts. That's the culture that they were in. And yet Jesus gave Mary a freedom to sit at his feet to be his disciple. I loved how the practicing the way, do you remember that? Put it in the autumn as we were going through that, the idea of discipleship or apprenticeship to Jesus, that the traditions at the time were that only the best of the best men could come and be a rabbi's apprentice. Do you remember that little grid he's talked about, how, you know, people get knocked off until there's only a very few elite who are able to do that, but how Jesus radically redefines what discipleship is. Everybody can be his disciple, his apprentice. I mean, it's a powerful countercultural thing that was happening at the time. Everybody. He welcomes everybody. He welcomes everybody to be with him, to sit at his feet, to follow him, to be his apprentice. And when we prioritize that, when we prioritize time with Jesus, as we prioritize it even in our serving, there's all sorts of consequences of it. We find peace. The more we sit with Jesus, the less anxious we become. We find clarity. When we focus on him, we remember what really matters. We find a joy. Our worship fills us up instead of draining us. See, Martha thought she needed to do for Jesus, but Jesus wanted her just to be with him. But it's hard, isn't it? How do we choose what is better, as Jesus says? How do we live more like Mary in a Martha world, is the question. It's all sorts of ways, isn't it? Just starting our day at Jesus' feet. You know, getting a download from him before you do your inbox. Easy, isn't it? You know, how many just go to the news or go to their email or go to their social account before they've even acknowledged that they can be with God? So easy, isn't it? Spending time just in prayer at scripture at the beginning of the day just sets the tone for everything else. Slow down and be present when we're feeling overwhelmed. That's a good question to ask, isn't it? Am I acting more like Mary or Martha in this moment? Might need to just take a breath, refocus on Jesus, slow down, be present with yourself. Remember that presence matters much more than performance, actually. God cares more about who you are than what you do. That's why he welcomes you. Your worth isn't wrapped up in your productivity. It's actually in your relationship with him. Your being with him, which is where your sense of security, significance, self-worth derives from, meaning, purpose, value. ultimately are found when you're orientating your soul to be with God. But we live in a world that is the opposite of that. Our status is on our balance sheets, or our, it's all wrapped up in other things. That's why I'm just so passionate about this Practicing the Way program that Rick's led out on. It's just phenomenal. I found it so helpful through the autumn. I've so enjoyed this, going deeper into prayer. The prayer practice aim was to help you learn and set aside dedicated time to intentionally be with God. It goes on, in order to become like him and partner with him in the world. Wow. It's worth giving some time to, isn't it? Talking with God, that was the first session, that focus on us bringing our requests, our gratitude, our emotions before God, included structured prayers like the Lord's Prayer, spontaneous heartfelt prayers that reflect our daily needs and struggles. We can talk to God, but we don't want to just talk to God. We want to talk with God. That was the second session. Prayer is not just about speaking some formulaic prayer, although there's some value in that, but engaging in a dialogue with God that involves a relational prayer, honesty, sharing of hearts, being open to the Spirit's prompting. Encourages us to believe and to cultivate real ongoing relationship with God. But we don't stay there. We listen too, don't we? That was the next session. I'm only saying it because some of you haven't been to the sessions. Prayer's not just about talking to and with, it's listening to God. Prayer's about learning skills and practices that help us hear from God. It includes silence, meditation on scripture, tentative to God's voice in everyday life, the prophetic. It teaches us to be patient and discerning. Helps us to recognize how God speaks. We need to tune in to his voice. If we're just starting our Christian journey, it can be harder. It can be harder as we go through our Christian journey as well. And then finally, being with God, the final session, that possibly they describe as the deepest form of prayer, that just being in God's presence, where you don't actually even have to say anything or listen. There's times when Hayley and I, you know, are just together. We don't have to talk. She finds those a bit hard at that time. But I said it. Oh no, I was thinking it and it came out my mouth. But we all know times, don't we, when we're just with somebody. We don't have to talk but there's just a security about being with somebody. It just goes deeper into contemplative prayer, solitude, stillness. I mean, these are powerful things that are so, you know, when you think of mindfulness, you know, and all the stuff, there's good stuff out there, secular stuff on mindfulness, but this is the real deal. Actually, this is how God designed us to be. Not knocking mindfulness things. They can be very helpful for people. But I tell you what, get into the whole idea of contemplative prayer, solitude, presence of God. I tell you what, it is life-changing. So I just want to encourage us to be intentional. You know, there are so many resources. Take your hands up. I haven't been to any of the Wednesdays during this last term because I was doing the Alpha thing. But if you haven't, you can watch them on YouTube. I did this week and last week. There's no reason, if you can't be there on a Wednesday, that, you know, or in a group, or that's fair enough. But it's half an hour. I tell you what, it gives you some great skills. It's a great investment. And that's how we choose what is better. As this passage says, that the one thing, that really matters, as Jesus says. I think as we come to the end of this month of prayer, that Jesus is calling many of our names this morning. Twice. There are only seven times in the Bible where God uses a name twice. And they're all profoundly significant moments of calling. Abraham in Genesis 22, Jacob, Genesis 46, Moses, Exodus 3, Samuel, 1 Samuel. They all had a Abraham, Abraham, a Jacob, Jacob, a Moses, Moses, a Samuel, Samuel. There was Simon in Luke 22, Saul, where Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Saul, Saul. And then there was this Martha, Martha. Martha, 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 Martha. What tone do you hear? I hear him lovingly acknowledging the state of Martha's heart. And then with tender repetition, saying, Martha, Martha. Jesus invites her. He lovingly welcomes her. He kindly is beckoning her. To consider a way of life and a way of serving that's without distraction, that's without anxiety, without self-righteousness, isn't looking at what others aren't doing. In Martha's mind, she felt she had no choice but to serve and do it all on her own, with much worry, and it made her grumpy towards others. And it can do that, can't it? Now, it's really interesting noticing the nodding heads at this point. Those who are, oh, there's hands up now as well. We can get grumpy towards others, can't we? Or we can get into a place where we are resourced by Jesus in a different way. And that's why we want to encourage people to pray and do all these wonderful spiritual disciplines. Because the bottom line is we both serve and sit, don't we? But it's the attitude of our hearts as we do those things that Jesus is wanting to reveal this morning. Even in her service, Martha can spend time doing the one thing needed, the necessary thing, it says, from which everything else flows. In fact, you know, it's possibly because one of my love languages is, if you know about love languages, is service. But even in service, you know, you can find the Saviour. I had a weird moment with the washing machine at Wadham Christian Centre one night when everybody else had gone, where I was washing up. And the presence of God was there. That's not some like subtle way of getting people to sign up to do washing up by saying that actually it's like the holiest place in the building, where as you, because there's times when you know when the spray jet leaks and it splurges in your face, where it isn't such a spiritual moment. But do you know what? There can be a sense of finding the presence of God as we're serving the kids, as we're putting chairs out, as we're however we're serving, as we're doing little acts of kindness, as we're visiting Juliet, as we're picking up people, whatever we're doing. Do you know what? As we serve, we can find Jesus in it. It's not that the service isn't wrong. It's just we need to find the one thing, that engagement with Jesus as we're doing it. So, Jesus never said serving was bad. He just said that Mary had made a good choice in sitting at his feet. And that same choice is in front of us. And it is a choice in this busy world that we live in. And maybe as we're coming now to this moment, the life's distractions, anxieties, you're just recognizing they've robbed you of an intimacy with Jesus. Well, this is your moment. This is your moment when you might hear Jesus say your name twice. I think he's saying, it's not that Jesus has got a stutter. He is wanting your attention. And it's a time where we can say, you know, I can make some choices, actually. I don't just have to let it all be coming at me. Now, I recognize when you've got little kids, it is tough. Workplace is tough. I'm not saying it's easy, but it is possible. And even in it, we can find ways to pursue Jesus, and he's welcoming us to do that. We don't have to be just sitting at his feet in that sense, but we can come to him, and I want us to do that right now. Got a week of prayer coming up, and again, it's about choices, isn't it? I really want to encourage you to come to Jesus this week, to be with Jesus this week. It may be just on your own, finding a time, setting an alarm, you know, midday. I'm going to say the Lord's Prayer every day this week. Set an alarm on your phone, whatever it is. I'd encourage you to pray this week. Go online, look at the resources that are there. There's loads of them in practicing the way. There's no excuses not to be able to get some input. But also corporately, we're going to do some things. So each morning, 7 a.m., we're going to do a Zoom prayer meeting for half an hour. There's different topics each day, as we outlined in update. That will be a good way to start the day if you're able to do that. You know, I know some of you were doing it last time, you know, driving to work, and my prayer at the beginning was, may they pray with their eyes open as they're driving. You know, if you're on the train, you don't have to get in any weird position on your knees in the middle of the carriage. You can just be there quietly before the Lord. But if you can join us, you can join us. That would be great. So there's Sean, you mustn't do that if you're driving. So personal prayer, morning prayer, Wednesday night, I'd love us all together at Wadham Christian Centre for an evening of prayer and encountering God and listening to God and hearing God's encouragement to us and to each other. So be there for that. On Friday, the youth are doing prayer stations, so pray for them if you're not a youth. And then also, we wanted just to give opportunity for people to make any prayer requests. If there are particular people or situations that you would love the church to be praying for, there's a little form that we've created. There's a link in update. You can use that, or you can scan that QR code. It'll take you to it right now if you've got a particular prayer request, and we'll weave that into the day that it seems most appropriate in the mornings or on the Wednesday. So if you've got a particular thing that you'd love us all to be praying for, there's an opportunity to do that as well. So personal prayer, morning prayer, Wednesday evening, there's Friday youth if you're youth, and then there's prayer requests. If you want to do that, we can want to facilitate that as well. But are you up for praying this week? I hope you are. The band's going to come up now. If you are up for giving some time this week to prayer, I want us to use this next song as like the anthem of our week of prayer. So as you're singing it, I'd love us to come up here. I'd love us to say to God, Thank you for saying my name twice today. And I want to commit myself to being available to pray this week. Amen? Let's stand. This is a great song. I think we've sung it before, have we? I get muddled up which ones we sing and which ones I just listen to at home. But this song is the anthem of the week. Okay? So listen to the words as you're singing it. Don't just sing the words and enjoy a tune. Let's really say, these are the words that I'm going to be intentional about this week.